The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Hello, Rolene.
Hello, Kath. How are you?
Very well, thanks. You. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. I want to jump right in.
Good afternoon. I just love always this wonderful energy in the studio.
Well, there you go. Just before we get to the three stories that you want to raise, I very quickly want to just go sideways and ask you about an article that was in the Times of Israel earlier today about the ex-envoy to the U.S., Michael Oren, talking about, in chilling detail is their word, a possible conflagration or war with Iran. What was he trying to achieve? Why would one go into those sorts of details? I don't understand the article.
Well, first of all, I think we need to look at who Michael Oren is. He's one of the premier historians, one of the most respected historians. And if there's anybody who understands Israel and understands the challenges that Israel faces, it's Michael Oren. Also, very importantly, he served as Israel's ambassador to the United Nations in during the Obama administration. He's written his very famous book called Ally, which details that. So he's very, very well aware of the machinations behind the scene trying to get the nuclear deal through, the concerns from Israel's side, you know, where the Americans were coming from. And he also understands very well the threats posed by Iran and just how difficult a tightrope it is to walk when it comes to dealing with Iran. You know, they've flouted yet again the nuclear program,
yes,
enriching uranium, really not caring about nuclear inspections, really not caring about the threat they pose, flexing their muscles with Israel with regards to events in Syria, events in our north and south. So, you know, what he's trying to be is the voice of reason. I think he's trying to explain the severity of what could happen if we are to engage in some kind of conflagration. I think ultimately it's going to go down. We're going to have to face each other. You know, Iran are pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And, you know, I think he also wants to explain or get it out there, the veracity of the threat we face to perhaps regimes or countries that don't take it as seriously as.
Do you think that was the intended audience? Because I kind of wondered if it wasn't borderline sort of fear mongering and whether it wouldn't actually demotivate Israelis reading that sort of detail.
No, I think he's very much trying to impress upon countries, and I think especially European countries, this is who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, ignore the threat at all of our peril. It's not just Israel that's going to face the brunt of Iran. We might be the first in the firing line, but this affects everybody.
Okay. All right. Thank you for indulging me. Let's get back to what you planned. Let's talk about Hamas threatening Gantz. Yeah, apparently they're going to make him rue the day he was born.
Well, I tell you, if anybody's full of fighting words, it's Yahya Sinwar. I mean, it's complete with all, you know, all the flowery language you can expect from Hamas. Only they use their powers for evil. So, yes, he has been threatening Benny Gantz. He says that the inability to form a coalition government, of course, is the job of Hamas. They've boxed Israel. They've created a situation where Israel cannot form a coalition government. We saw it with Netanyahu. And now he says to Gantz, if you do or if you try, you will regret the day you were born. I mean, he forgets very well that Benny Gantz knows exactly who he's dealing with as far as Hamas is concerned, because Benny Gantz was the Ramatkal, he was the IDF chief of staff. Also, it comes coincidentally after Gantz addressing foreign audiences that he's not against targeted assassinations when it comes to dealing with rocket attacks. So you never know. You're here. You could be with a big bullseye on your head should you carry on behaving like this. And he also mentioned that Hamas has an arsenal of thousands of rockets, anti-tank missiles, a network of hundreds of subterranean tunnels reaching hundreds of kilometers into Israel, and that he is ready to rain rocket fire down on Tel Aviv for at least 6 months.
Is the implication that he would prefer to see Netanyahu as Prime Minister of Israel rather than Benny Gantz?
Well, very interesting. Before we went to the first round of elections earlier this year, I read a very, very interesting article by one of the experts specifically on Hamas and Gaza. And one of the consensus was that they would actually prefer to deal with Netanyahu. They fear very much Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz, Netanyahu, they feel, believe it or not, seems to be a little bit more measured, a little bit more reasonable in how he handles the situation in Gaza. Whereas Benny Gantz, I think, would be a lot more he wouldn't be as perhaps pinpoint as Netanyahu. This is how they see it.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. Apparently 3 men have been detained for the rape of a young girl earlier this year. Tell us the story.
Okay, so earlier this year, the story broke that a Palestinian janitor working in a school in Binyamina had allegedly raped a 7-year-old girl. He was detained for questioning and then let go.
It was an absolute debacle. I remember what a mess it was.
It created a terrible debacle.
Yeah.
It created a terrible debacle, and nothing seemed to come of following up the investigation, or at least it wasn't made public. Today we know that Israeli police detained 3 men that are suspected of involvement in the alleged rape. 2 are Palestinian laborers who were previously questioned, and the 3rd is a Jewish driver and a resident of Binyamina, the city where the girl lives, and who apparently regularly drives the men, and he's now being interrogated. So this is what we know at the moment, and we're going to follow this case very, very closely. The Palestinian who was initially arrested was Mahmoud Katosa. He was under arrest for 56 days, and he was initially indicted for the crime. However, investigators found a lot of holes in the investigation, and he was set free. Some members of law enforcement still see him as a suspect, but today news of these three arrests or detainees is a new update on this particular case.
Okay, and then finally, Lieberman denies he is prepared to compromise on a coalition. Was he going to?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, Lieberman and compromise are two words you don't often hear in the same sentence.
Exactly.
But he says that he heard, and I quote him directly, he says, "This morning I heard and read a lot of nonsense from journalists in various media outlets concerning actions Israel Bitain was allegedly planning compromises on matters of religion and state, joining one bloc or another." He didn't hesitate to remind anyone who's paying attention, which is most of us, that there's no way he will be joining a bloc that has the ultra-religious. And he says these reports are baseless and generally solely by the writers and pundits. So that's Lieberman putting any talk of compromise to a firm bed.
Rolene, just 1 second before we go, have you seen Our Boys? We won't talk about it today. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But if you have, yes or no?
I haven't. I'm in 2 minds about it. And definitely happy to chat more about it
tomorrow. Rolene, as always, thank you so much. I look forward to that discussion.